We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Halfway home on a Wednesday evening on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show, live from the Kia Studios with you here, 404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We are asking you to download the Radio.com app. The Odyssey.com app. We know you're not in your vehicle as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the radio station and the show. How do you do it? Simple. Easiest way is through the Odyssey.com app. Put that on your device today, right? Smartphone, Alexa speakers, tablet, Commodore 64, Intellivision, Coleco, Light Bright, fax machine. I don't know what your device is. Just download onto something to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on those platforms. Always the best way to be a part of the show. Do it through our personal Twitter pages, at JMCH316, at JMCH316, your water cooler talking points, 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. On the other side of the glass from me, Jarvis in the building, at JarvisD90. And don't forget, Unity Night presented by State Farm. The Hawks are proud founder of the life and legacy of Dr. King this season with the MLK Nike City Edition uniforms and matching court at State Farm Arena. Join us for Unity Night when the Hawks take on the Bucks coming up tomorrow night, April 15th, tax day at 7:30, presented by State Farm. Grab your tickets at hawks.com/tickets and learn about Unity Nights at hawks.com/MLK. All of your Hawks action right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is, of course, the Falcons flyover. The Atlanta Falcons were at Justin Fields' pro day today. My understanding is, in reading about it, and maybe Jarvis, you heard this as well, that they brought some different coaches, different people this time, that they had some different sets of eyes that were watching Justin Fields. Is that the thing that you saw and read as well today?
Yeah, they didn't. They had Dave Brock was there, and I believe the offensive Dave Brock was there, and yeah, because Arthur Smith and Terrifano, they weren't there.
Yeah, they didn't they had go, but there were like three other coaches or something that went today. So it wasn't Smith and Fontenot that went. They were there at the first pro day. In fact, the first pro day was what? Smith, Fontenot, and Ragone, the new OC? They were there the first time. So they wanted to put a new set of eyes on Justin Fields, so they took some different coaches there today to be a part of his pro day. Of course, he was throwing. He was going to run some plays at the 49ers, running this, that, and the other, which I think is strange that you would kind of cater toward one team or what have you. But anyway, listen, I still think the 49ers are drafting Justin Fields. I think the 49ers are going to take Justin Fields at number three, which then obviously makes it very intriguing as to what the Falcons will do at four. But I do think that they are going to take Justin Fields at number three, and now the draft really gets started at four. Because we've been saying that the Falcons control the draft. We know it's going to be quarterbacks. But if Fields isn't there, I wonder how much that diminishes them taking a quarterback, or if they really do like Trey Lance. You would think, just in sort of your heart of hearts, that Fields or Lance are the guy for the Falcons. That if you're drafting quarterback, it's one of those two guys that they're going to draft.
It was a quarterback coach, Charles Landon, Dave Brock, and another scout. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. So, yep, they want to put some new eyes on Justin Fields. So Which, you know, again, I don't know what you need to take from it. What difference does it make if the 49ers draft him, right? You can go to, he can have 49 more pro days if the 49ers draft him. It doesn't really mean a whole lot, right?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you on that whole Justin Fields to the 49ers thing, because it's just, it's a hard sell for me to believe that they gave all of that up to draft Mac Jones.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't see that.
Nope, I don't either. I can't imagine they traded up to three.
If I'm the owner, I wouldn't even sign off on that. I'm like, no, you're not doing that for Mac Jones. No.
I can't imagine that they traded all the way up to three.
Nah,
for
man.
Mac Jones. I understand going up to get your quarterback in
five, six, maybe.
Right.
Okay, yeah, you want to make sure you get them, but three? No, man.
I'm starting to wonder if Mac Jones, let's say if he doesn't go three, which we don't think he will, then where is he going?
He's going to plummet.
Yeah, I think he's going to drop.
He's going to drop.
Yeah,
somebody's going to drop. Yeah.
If he does, see, I'll say this though: the top four quarterbacks aren't going to drop. Wilson, Lawrence, Fields, Lance. Those guys won't drop. It's Mac Jones, I think, is going to drop, and where he falls, you know, if Denver decides to just sit back and let Mac Jones fall to them, maybe that's what happens. If New England decides to sit back and let Mac Jones. But then again, that's all about the idea of, okay, if you're sitting back and letting Mac Jones fall to you, is that, do you think he's your top quarterback? I mean, that's what you have to tell me is, because, and I hate to say it this way, I don't want my franchise drafting the fourth best quarterback. You know what I mean? Like the, if I need quarterback.
Your best bet is try to find a guy in the mid rounds.
Right. Right. If I really need quarterback, and you're telling me what my franchise is doing is basically settling for the best of what's left, then that ain't getting you anywhere. Doesn't mean that he can't be a great player and, you know, go to the Hall of Fame. But if the mindset is, well, we'll just see what's left out of those guys and we'll take, okay. That wouldn't inspire me very much as a fan of my franchise. But somebody's going to fall. In that mix, one of those quarterbacks is going to fall in that mix. And that's why I still think that pick is so valuable to the Atlanta Falcons. All right. It looks like it's not official, but it looks like the Falcons will be signing return specialist Cordarrelle Patterson. He was meeting with the Falcons today. He tweeted out, "I'm going to miss my boys in Chicago." So by all indications are that he's going to be coming here to Atlanta. And I had to laugh because they said he's following in the footsteps of Devin Hester. How long ago was that? 7 years ago? 7 or 8 years ago? He's a two-time All-Pro kick returner. Listen, if you tell me the Falcons are signing Cordarrelle Patterson, I got no problem with that whatsoever. Here's the thing, though. Those guys come here and they never live up to the same thing. Andre Roberts was a Pro Bowler before he got here, didn't do anything here, and then was a Pro Bowler the very next year after he left Atlanta.
Well, there's a different special teams coach coordinator this year, so we hope that that goes away.
Yeah.
Because it was clear that it was, as long as they catch the ball, they good.
Yeah.
Catch the ball and give it to the offense.
I haven't looked at what kind of receiver Patterson is as far as what his numbers or anything are for all of that. I have not. I'll be honest with you. I did not look up his numbers. And by the way, the signing isn't necessarily official yet, but all indications are his meeting. He was here for all of that. And he's tweeting out the idea that he's going to miss his guys. So last year, the receiving part of it, 21 catches, 132 yards. Let's see. No touchdowns last year. So obviously he's not going to be a big part of your offense. But you wonder, again, another one of those guys that you wonder, okay, can he be a guy that can do anything in the red zone or this, that, and the other? I don't know. You know, obviously played at Tennessee. You know, spent his early years in Minnesota, never really got going in Minnesota. I mean, his best year was 469 yards and four touchdowns for Minnesota. And that was his rookie year, by the way. So he's an all-pro return guy. I got no problem with that. I'd love to see somebody semi-dime man. I'll take anything at this point. Anything other than just making a fair catch and we move on from there. And I understand that that's the – you can tell me that's the smart play and the things they do or this, that, and the other. But still, it's – Lord. I mean, it you should be able to find somebody who can make some kind of play in your special teams game. All right, Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, his latest two-round mock. Ready for this? Lawrence at one, Zach Wilson at two, Justin Fields at three. Number four for the Falcons, they trade down. Here's what he's got, Broncos and Falcons. Falcons send the number four overall pick and number 142. So the Falcons take their fourth pick, their first-round pick, one of their fifth-rounders, send it to Denver, and they obviously get their number 9 pick this year, number 40 pick this year, their number 192, which is a sixth-round pick this year, and Denver's first-round pick next year. So if I can swap down to 9, pick up 40, and get their first-rounder next year, I'd do that day all day long. I'll do that deal all day long. I couldn't do that deal fast enough. So I would do that deal right away. Ja'Marr Chase to the Bengals at 5. Devontae Smith at 6. Now, here's where it gets confusing and it gets interesting. The Falcons trading up from number 9 to number 7. After their trade back, the Falcons jump at an opportunity to pick Kyle Pitts and strike a deal with rebuilding Detroit. In this trade, the Lions get number 68, a 2022 fourth-round pick, and the number 9 pick. So basically what you're doing is they have the Falcons trade down to 9. They pick up a second-rounder. They go up to number 7, so they go from 9 to 7. They give up their third rounder this year and a fourth rounder next year. Everybody got that? Think the Falcons are trading to 9 to trade up to 7 to go get Pitts? I understand the thinking. I don't see that scenario happening. I don't think that's a scenario that's going to happen.
What's the line of thinking behind his trade scenario? Because Carolina's sitting right there at 8. You think they're going to draft a tight end?
He's got them drafted Penei Sewell, by the way. Is Sewell going to drop to 8?
Ooh.
Is he dropping all the way down to 8?
Man. Only place I see him going, like, I don't see him. Cincinnati needs offensive line help like yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't see him going past 5.
They need offensive line help to protect Burrow, and they need weapons for Joe Burrow.
He was out for a season for a reason.
Yeah. I don't see the Falcons trading down. I can see them trading down to 9 with Denver. I don't see them trading back up at that point.
Yeah. I mean, because at the end of the day, if Kyle Pitts is there, he's there. You don't trade back up for him. Nah, that makes no sense whatsoever to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. At that point, if you're sitting at 9 – you got all the corners available to you. You got Horn, you got Farley, you got Surtain.
Whoever you want.
Right. At that point, I'm going to sit at 9, and I'm probably going to take Surtain at 9 if he's sitting there. That's probably my pick at that point. I think Sewell will be gone, Pitts will be gone. I don't think those guys will be around at number 9. So if they do that, if for some reason Surtain isn't there, would you take Rashawn Slater? Would you take Jalen Phillips at 9? Slater's not as bad of a pick at 9, but Phillips is pretty high at 9.
Pretty high at 9, but you know me, I really like Jalen Phillips. Yeah.
My thing is, if he's your guy, go get your guy. Who was the guy from Clemson a few years ago that the Raiders grabbed that people said, oh, that's a reach or this, that, and the other? It wasn't Dexter Lawrence. It wasn't Lawrence. Was it Cleveland Farrell?
Cleveland Farrell.
Yeah. That they drafted.
Mike Mayock was creaming over.
Yeah. They draft. If he's your guy, just like Daniel Jones or anybody, if it's your guy, go draft him.
Yep. He's sitting right there and you didn't expect him to be?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Get him.
If you get to 9 and you want Jalen Phillips, go get Jalen Phillips at 9. And then go, you know, you get in that scenario, you've got an extra second rounder, go find you a corner and a running back. Go take Richie Grant out of Central Florida.
Plenty of them.
Yeah.
Plenty of running backs.
Go get ETN and Richie Grant in the second round at 35 and 40.
Man, that'd be a nice haul.
Yeah, would be. Would be. All right, when we get back, it's time for That's Life. One of the more famous criminals here of late has passed away. And wait till you hear about this airplane bag. Literally. It's all next. Chuck Reed hanging out with you here in the Kia Studios on a Dynamite Wednesday. Sports Radio 910 The Game and the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you on the John Chuck Reed Show. 9:23 on this Dynamite Wednesday. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. To be a part of the show, Odyssey.com app is how you catch us on the go. Social media, 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at Jarvis D90. Louis Vuitton has released a new bag. And this, by the way, is a men's bag. A man purse, yes. The new bag. It is shaped like a airplane. It's a $39,000 airplane bag. And when I say airplane bag, I don't mean like you take it on an airplane or this and that, which obviously you could or whatever. But this is a bag that is shaped like an airplane. I was trying to pull up the item here. It's shaped like a what is it, a C-130 cargo plane. $39,000 on this thing, and it's the most ridiculous looking thing I've ever seen. And by the way, it's not a women's purse, right? It's not designed to be a women's purse. This is a man's bag. This is for men to carry around with them. $39,000, and they had a fashion show recently where they were showing guys that were walking around and carrying this bag. You know what? If you show up at the airport with a $39,000 men's satchel like this, in all honesty, you should be on the no-fly list at that point. They should put you on the no-fly list. Do you understand that you can actually buy a real airplane cheaper than you can buy this bag? You can literally go and buy a working airplane for less money than what the cost of this Louis Vuitton bag is. And like I said, it's in the shape of like a C-130 cargo plane. It's not even like a Learjet or anything like that. It's in the shape of a military cargo plane, for gosh sakes. So if you've got $39,000 laying around and you've got nothing better to do, now you got something you can go buy. If you're Paul LaDuca and you got money just laying around that you can throw around, go get you a Louis Vuitton bag for $39,000. I mean, if you can give up $500,000, go get you a Louis Vuitton bag for all of it. And it's every bit as bad as what you would think it is when you look at it. So, all right, quickly, too, before we get to our top 10 list. Bernie Madoff has died in jail, in prison. He, of course, famously ran a Ponzi scheme that involved lots of different celebrities, including people like Regis Philbin. So, Bernie Madoff, who was going to die in prison anyway, trying to see how old Bernie was. Of course, ran a Ponzi scheme for lots of years. 82 years old. 82 years old is Bernie Madoff. Scammed people out of so many millions and millions of dollars, excuse me. He had terminal kidney failure, is what it was. So he was a $20 billion Ponzi scheme, by the way. It's the largest financial fraud in U.S. history out of all of it. So I'm not feeling bad for Bernie that he died in prison. A lot of people really got hurt by the stuff that he was pulling off out there, you know. And if you're not familiar with the Ponzi scheme is, it's like you rob Peter to pay Paul, right? I mean, it was a fake investment, and people would invest in this, and he'd, like, use other people's money to pay off. There was actually no real company or whatever. It was just all a scheme. Some people say Social Security's like that, but I won't get into all the political debate of all that kind of stuff. So, anyway, Bernie Madoff dead at 82 years old.
Infamous. You mean, Chuck?
Not what?
Oh, please elaborate.
with that, our top 10 tonight, our top 10 favorite Bernies or Bernards all time. Jarvis, the floor is yours.
Well, you know, I had to do a little research on this one because, you know, there's not that many famous Bernards or Bernie.
That's why I thought it was a, you know, it's obviously an interesting name.
It is. It is.
So I thought, let's play around and have a little bit of fun. Actually, I'll be honest with you, for me, this was pretty easy.
Okay. I got a couple of them that you may know, may not know. Here we go. So let's start with Bernie Bickerstaff. How about that?
Oh, wow. You know, I forgot about Bernie Bickerstaff.
Can't forget about him. Yeah.
How NBA? Many teams did he coach for?
Oh, God.
How many He's second chances did he get at times in the NBA?
So many.
He can't complain about not getting enough chances in the NBA. Bernie Bickerstaff was on every team.
Yeah. Most of his success came as a head coach of the Seattle Supersonics.
Yeah, he was.
The Fighting Andy Bunkers.
He was in that group of guys like Doug Moe and who was the other one? Doug Moe, Gene Shue, where guys like that would get hired about every 3 years. That was Bernie Bickerstaff.
Oh, yeah, you used to be a head coach. Come on down.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you coached a game in the NBA before? Yeah, come on, man.
Oh, we got you, man. Bernard King.
Yeah.
Love one Bernard of the King. Great man, New York Knicks of all time.
I was there at the Cavs game because we actually played our high school basketball team that I was part of. We played on the Cavs floor before a game against a team from I can't remember if they're from Indiana or Pennsylvania, but we played them. It was the night that Bernard King scored like 50 at the Richfield Coliseum when he was with the Bullets.
Oh, okay.
At this point, with the Boulets, excuse me. I don't want to say Bullets. With the Boulets. He was with the Boulets. He scored like 50
Juicy
against
smoothie.
The Cavs. Yeah. I mean, but listen, in New York, when he was healthy, he was the man. Bernard King was that dude. Love Bernard King. Tennessee, by the way, too. Played at Tennessee.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yep, played at Tennessee.
How about this? Bernard Parlett. He's a safety. Played in the NFL for some time.
Mm-hmm. I remember him.
Yeah, he's a dude that always was dancing, man. He always had a dance or something to do before games.
Everybody's got to have a gimmick.
Oh, of course, man. Why not? Bernie Kosar. Yep. I know you're very familiar with him.
Yeah, have no fear. He's on the list.
I'm sure he is. Yeah, probably number two or number one.
Nobody got more out of less at quarterback than Bernie Kosar.
Yeah,
he was not gifted. He was not, you know. He obviously won the national championship in Miami for Howard Schnellenberger.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a guy that he didn't have a ton of ability, but he got so much out of it. And
he maximized his talent.
They should have been in one Super Bowl. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah.
They should have been playing in at least one Super Bowl when he was there.
Had a little awkward release. Yeah, he was just
that sidearm and everything.
He definitely got the butter from the duck, as they say.
Oh, yeah.
Bernie Casey.
Love Bernie Casey.
You with Bernie Casey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to get you sucker.
I'm going to get you sucker, yeah. And he was in a lot of those movies throughout the 70s and everything.
Yeah, the black exploitation, man.
Remember, every superhero needs a theme music.
Indeed. Here we go. Bernard Hopkins, B-Hop.
Oh, yeah.
Probably
love Bernard Hopkins.
He probably has a fight coming up as we speak.
Oh, yeah, probably.
That
dude
there.
Yeah, by the way, you know, Evander's fighting, too. Evander.
I heard about
Evander's
that.
Back to fight.
Yeah, man.
I don't even want to know.
Say he and Mike trying to work that out, man. Would you watch that, by the way?
No.
Not even for nostalgia purposes?
Evander's got no business being in the ring.
Man, he
got
is.
No business being in the ring. I don't.
I love Evander.
I don't want anything bad to happen. I don't want anything bad to happen to Evander, man. I don't want anything bad to happen to him.
Not at all. One of my favorite rappers, Bun B. I did not know his name was Bernard. After doing a little research,
I'm not familiar with his work.
He's part of the rap group UGK.
Okay.
Very.
They have their spring game coming up on Saturday. So,
huh? UGK.
Oh,
not UGA.
Oh, okay.
UGK.
Okay. Sorry.
The Underground Kings. Okay. Yes.
Do they have their own G Day or something? Or
rest in peace, Pimp C.
Okay.
Man. All right. Yeah. How about Bernie Lomax?
What happened to Pimp A and B?
They didn't make it. They didn't make it.
They were already gone.
They didn't make it about this.
Okay.
What pimp
letter are we on? We on about pimp F, G, pimp L? Okay.
Chuck, I will not let you disrespect Pimp C.
I understand.
Sorry, sir. I can't let you do that.
I understand.
How about Bernie Lomax?
Bernie Lomax? Yes.
Weekend at Bernie's, man.
Yeah.
That is a classic movie, by the way.
That is a crazy movie.
That is a crazy movie.
The second one was horrible.
Oh,
first one was great. Second one was horrible.
I didn't even know there was a second one.
Yep, there was. Because the first one did well.
Yeah.
So it means you automatically have to have a second one.
Yeah, you got to cash out,
yep.
man.
Yep.
And my number one Bernie of all time, I think you probably know who I'm about to say right now, is the man, the myth, the legend, Bernie Mac. Himself.
The late, great Bernie Mac.
Yeah, great, amazing Bernie Mac.
So I had B-Hop on my list as well. I had Bernie Kosar on my list. I had Bernie Casey as well. Bernie Mac, of course. Bernard King, I've got him as well. I've got a few ones, though, that you don't have on there. I got Bernie Williams, former Yankee baseball player.
No way in hell I was going to put your name on this.
No,
come
I
on
knew.
Now.
Yeah,
man,
yeah.
What? Yankees? Please. Come on.
Bernie Taupin. Probably don't know Bernie Taupin. So he is the songwriting partner for the last 40 years of Elton John.
Oh.
So Elton would write the
music.
That's
why I don't know him.
Yeah, Elton would write the music, and Bernie Taupin would write the lyrics out there. One of the great lyricists of all time, Bernie Taupin. Bernard Lee, probably not familiar with him, but he was the guy who played M in all of the early James Bond movies.
Okay.
So, like in Dr. No and Goldfinger. So, all of the, you know, James Bond's boss, you know, when he would go in and meet with the guy, that's Bernard Lee. And he died, actually. Oh, I think Octopussy. No. Yes, maybe it was Octopussy. No, it might not even been Octopussy. Might have been Moonraker was the last Lee. Bernard Lee died right before one of the James Bond movies was about to be filmed or whatever. So, I can't remember which one it was. Bernie Kopel, if you're not familiar with him, Doc from Love Boat. Doc from Love Boat.
Gotcha.
He was actually in several he was in Get Smart and everything like that, too. And then my favorite Bernie of all time, I'm surprised you didn't have this guy, but he is without question my favorite Bernard. He is also my favorite bass player of all time, Bernard Edwards of Chic.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Bernard
That's
Edwards of
right
Chic.
There,
Tony
there.
Thompson, the drummer. Bernard Man. Edwards, Nile Rodgers. On guitar, man, one of my favorite groups of all time, Chic. Huge fan of Chic. All right, when we come back, if the Falcons take quarterback at 4, Jarvis and I are going to tell you what they have to draft in round number 2. It's all next. Chuckery hanging out with you in the Key Studios on a Dynamite Wednesday. Sports Radio right now to the game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show, live in the Kia Studios on a Dynamite Wednesday evening, 404-741-0929. Solomon Bowes Diamond text line. Whoo, man. Odyssey.com app, excuse me. I catch on the go. At JMCH316, at Jarvis D90. Well, nephew Ronnie has done it again. Another home run, this time opposite field. 3-for-4, 3 runs scored, 4 RBI, now hitting .457 with a .509 on-base percentage and a .1022 slugging percentage. He has been on fire. By the way, they'd have the lead in this game because he doubled in this game too. What the hell was Ender doing trying to run on a bunt from the pitcher? Trying to steal on a bunt by the pitcher? Who Morton popped up, and Ender was doubled off of first base. And then Ronnie comes up and hits a double off the wall. they'd have the lead right now if Ender hadn't been such a dope in his base running. And the funny part is, Ender's 2-for-2 with a run and a walk tonight. How about that? But he got doubled off of first because he decided to steal a base on a pitcher bunt. And Morton popped it up in the air, caught it, and doubled him off of first base. And then Ronnie comes up with a double right after that. If he hadn't gotten knocked off first base, he'd have scored, and Braves would have the lead right now. Instead, it's tied at 5-5. So, unbelievable. Unbelievable comeback right now for the Atlanta Braves. As Charlie Morton, 6 innings, 5 earned runs, 9 strikeouts. That's good, but, you know, again, 96 pitches and 5 runs, not so good out of all of it. Did Ozuna get all of this? Nah, can of corn out to right field. So, Sean Newcomen, by the way, he came in with a couple of strikeouts in his 1 inning of relief. He's been kind of one of the glue guys. But and this home run by Ronnie, by the way, you watch it. I mean, complete opposite field, completely down the right field line, caught it toward the end of his bat, just muscled it out there completely. But Braves now tied 5-5. Like I said, if Ender doesn't have that base-running gaffe, Braves would be up right now. They'd be winning this game. So need to find a W. Need to find a W. No question. No question about it. So need to get a W here tonight. All right. Speaking of needs, if the Falcons draft quarterback at 4, and you know, lots of rumor and innuendo about what the Falcons will do at number 4. But let's say in a scenario where the Falcons draft 4, which means they're not trading around or anything like that. Could they make a trade later on or something? Yeah, yeah. But let's just assume that they stay at 4, draft quarterback, and now have pick number 35 coming up. What do the Falcons have to do? Because we could talk about best player available and this, that, and the other. But you've already drafted a guy at number 4 that you know is not going to play. You can't draft a guy at 35 who's not going to be an impact player on your football team. Jarvis, I'll ask you first. 35, you've drafted quarterback at 4. What do you have to draft at the Atlanta Falcons?
Edge rusher.
Yeah.
I have to draft edge rusher. And a guy that probably will be sitting around there if people don't reach for him in the first round. We talked about this the other night. Greg Rousseau.
Yeah.
I would take a chance on him because – like I said, it's going to be a boom or bust, but when you're talking about just athletic, freakish type of guy that can be a Alden Smith type guy that can give you 12 to 13 sacks in his sleep or fresh off the street, you know, I think he ended up with like 6 or 7 sacks coming back off of a 4-year hiatus from playing football. So yeah. that a guy that just naturally can rush the passer, and I think that they have to go edge rusher because you are sitting in a position of need. This has been a position of need for the past 5 years.
Yeah. You can't. if you draft – see, and that's the thing about drafting quarterback at 4
mm-hmm.
is – oh, here comes Luke, so this ought to work out good.
Oh, your boy.
If you draft quarterback at 4, you have to draft a guy in the next round that's going to impact your football team. Now – you mentioned about Rousseau, and I agree with you. I've got edge rusher as well. Your draft strategy has to change at that point if you draft quarterback at 4. You can't sit there and tell me about just drafting best guy available because you can't draft a guy who's literally not going to play with the 4th overall pick and then draft a guy just because, you know, he rates high enough on your board. You have to go get something of important need on your football team. And that, without question, is pass rush. That, without question, is the big gaping hole would be pass rush at that point. And honestly, I would tell you, if the Falcons drafted anything other than pass, if they draft quarterback at 4, fine, draft quarterback at 4, whatever, Fields, Lance, whatever they do, okay? Draft quarterback at 4. If they don't draft a pass rusher at 35, I'm going to really scratch my head about what they're doing. Because you can't have your biggest glaring weakness sitting around for round after round and not go get somebody to fill that. And I don't mean a guy like in the fifth or sixth round to just bring in a body. I'm talking about you have to get an impact player. You know, they already need to spend high capital on a pass rusher because that's what their greatest need is. But if you don't draft pass rusher at 4 or 35, I'm not saying you got drafted at 4, but my point is, if you draft 4 and 35 and you still don't have a guy to sack the quarterback, you got a lot of explaining to do to me. A lot of explaining.
Explain to me, please.
Yeah, because I can't you can't tell me about running back. You can't – and just when you look at the landscape of what we're talking about, your really top-tier corners are not going to be there.
And there are some guys that you can get in that early third round that can come in and play for you. Because from a DB standpoint, this is a deep draft as well. Yeah,
yeah, I think there's plenty of corners and safeties to be had through the draft, but there is a difference between Farley, Horn, Surtain, and the next group of guys.
Indeed, always.
You know, I mean, so there is a difference between those guys. But the only other position that I could tell you, Jarvis, that, you know, there'll be some offensive linemen. You know, now, this is where I would be okay if you told me you draft a dedicated interior offensive lineman or something like that, center guard, you know, like second round, 35. Okay, if there's a guy that really is worth drafting at 35 in that position, I'm okay with that. You know, that I'm okay if you draft. I'm not as – unless you're telling me he's that dude, then I can't draft a pure offensive interior offensive lineman – top, say, 20 picks or whatever. You have to be all world to be able to go that. And there's only been one guy in the last however many years that
has probably been already in the Hall of Fame now.
Yeah. I mean, that's a legitimate guy. Okay, he's worth a top five pick on interior offensive lineman. But I'm not saying those guys are a dime a dozen. I'm just saying that the impact of what a tackle is going to have, both right or left tackle, the impact of a tackle is drastically different than even your, you know, even center at that point. So that would be the only other thing that I would say is you better have, if you're not drafting pass rusher, it better be an elite level offensive lineman either outside or inside at that point.
I mean, when you think about it, Chuck, that's why I think you make a really good point because that's been their issue up front for the past 3 years, man. What people have consistently called into the station, running to the people in the street. Like, Matt Ryan has been under siege for the past 3 years.
Yep.
He's been getting sacked consistently. And guess what? They haven't been able to return the favor on defense.
No.
To the opposing quarterback. Right. So, like, why? What are we talking about? So, if, like you said, I even tweeted this out earlier. Like, there needs to be a center around the quarterback, right? You know, this is what they need to draft to focus on, around the quarterback.
Right.
If you're going to draft a quarterback in the first round, you need to have somebody that can protect them or that can get to the imposing quarterback.
So let me ask you this question. What happens if Rousseau – let's say they draft quarterback at 4, and we both agree pass rusher. But what if Rousseau's not there at 35? Because Quiddy Pay will be gone, Ojulari will be gone, Phillips will be gone. Those guys will all be gone. What if Rousseau's not there at 35?
There are some guys that are out there that may fall. They may jump into that second round. There is a lot of Rashad Weaver, a guy out of Pitt.
If you told me, I'd be okay if it was Osai out of Texas.
Yeah.
I'm not as sold on the kid out of Wake Forest because I think of scheme depending on what the –
Basham, yeah. I mean, because he's a tweener. He probably may end up being an outside linebacker type guy.
Yeah,
but I don't see him being a full-time. I'm not sure that he's a guy that can drop into coverage for you if he need be. But for the most part, you want those guys with their hands in the dirt for the most part.
He's a more true 4-3 kind of defensive end, I mean, is what he is. So that's the only concern is I would, you know, if I had a chance at a boom or bust pick at 35, I'll take that all day long because you have the potential of hitting on something really special. But I think they have to draft pass rusher. If they draft quarterback at 4, you have to draft a pass rusher in the next round. I don't see how you can draft anybody else. I'm again, unless he's an elite-level offensive lineman, there's not many choices. Top of the hour, NFL squib kick. Browns add their pass rusher It's all next. Chuck, we're hanging out with you as we watch the Braves. Come back and tie it up. Sports Radio to the Game, the Odyssey.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.